Hello, everyone, and welcome to our second independent film review. Is that what you're calling it, Jeff?
Yes. Well, independent feature.
Independent feature review.
This feature implies that it's longer than a short film.
Yes. And with this one, we are going to be talking about Christopher Witherspoon's Rage. Hello, welcome back to our special feature for the Creepercast. I'm Jason, and with me is Jeff and Mike. I have no witty things for them this week because I only do that really for the main show.
For the main show, yes. And this is the independent review show, so.
Right, exactly.
You have to be nice to us.
This is our short review of Christopher Witherspoon's Rage. This is an independent film by Christopher Witherspoon, who, as I click on his name, has produced such things as Middleman, The Reanimator, and The Marqueen.
And not just produced, he was actually a special effects artist on Reanimator.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
this guy has done quite a few things, and this... He's also from Portland, which I love. When we got this from him about a year ago now,
and yes, it's just been horrible. We are
yes, I mean it's just been sitting, waiting to get reviewed, and we are finally getting around to it. We hope to get Christopher on sometime later.
Yes,
to talk about.
So Chris, when you listen to this show, we would love to have you on the show because I watched lots of interviews with you. I know you'd be a lot of fun to talk to.
Yes. So Rage. Rage is basically about a 30-something man who lives in Portland, or actually a suburb just outside of Portland, who says goodbye to his beautiful and loving wife and heads into town. There, he unintentionally provokes the wrath of a mysterious motorcyclist. The confrontation between the two sets in motion a day-long battle. I'm going to play the trailer, which is actually fairly long, but you know what? It's worth it.
This is cosmic karma about to wreak revenge on me for cheating on Crystal crap, isn't it?
Look, I just think when a person does bad things, it's going to come back on them somehow. Well, just before seeing Dana this morning, I had a run-in with this biker. Some guy on a motorcycle. Even though I didn't see this guy's face, I think I know who he is.
What you did was you tried to find somebody who could make you feel the way you used to feel. Anything bad that's happened to you since then, well, it ain't cosmic karma. It's bloody life. Plain and simple.
I really need to talk to you. I think that your boyfriend is trying to kill me. Why don't you just call this guy and tell him it's over between us so he cuts this shit out?
Come on, now! Now!
No! No! Please, someone!
So, Rage stars Audrey Walker, Rick Crawford, and Chris Witherspoon. Chris Witherspoon was also the writer and director of this film. It was completely produced and shot in Portland, Oregon. And this is one of the most visceral films I have seen in a long time.
And it all makes sense if you think about what drove him to make this film.
Can you elaborate on that?
I can actually elaborate on that one. I mean, there's a lot of things that drove him to, you know, create this film. I'm sure one of the things we all want to talk about is that it's obviously influenced by Duel by Steven Spielberg. We've actually talked about this on the show before about Duel itself. It was actually one of those, it was interesting because I was watching an interview with Christopher, and one of the things I liked about what he talked about was that he was working on a film idea. And as he had completed the script and completed the ideas and everything for it, he realized he didn't have $10 million. so he decided he needed to come up with something else to fill in that space. And he remembered the movie Duel, which he had seen when he was a child, which from 1971, a Steven Spielberg made for TV film, which is basically about a guy trying to outrun a crazy truck driver. We did talk about this on the show before, right?
I don't think so. We talked about it just between us two. I know that.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we definitely should, or it will come up a lot in this one, which is basically about a truck driver chasing down this guy who's trying to drive cross country. And it's got this whole man versus nature, or human nature, as I would, you know, refer to it as, you know, experience going on. And it's a survival story. It's a road story. It's a survival story. It's everything from that point. And that's kind of what Rage was born out of. Also, it's based on personal experience. I mean, he admits that he had an extramarital affair, and he, you know, a lot of it had to do with how he felt it was affecting everybody around him. And this film is that.
Well, I can honestly see where he's coming from with that one. Where I see this film, what really came out to me is that this is a morality film.
You have the
line in there where he says, and I'm going to paraphrase it, basically, you know, what you karma's a bitch, what you do to other people is going to come back on you tenfold,
right?
And that's what this is about. You know, this guy who is cheating on his wife, who is very, as far as we can see, very loving to him, has a perfect life, perfect marriage, perfect everything. He's cheating on her. He's a, you know, for the most part at the beginning, you see him kind of as a jerk. And
kinda. I mean, he says one thing. He's like, I love my wife, yet he's still pawing and kissing on his lover.
Well, I'm talking about to everybody, not just about his marriage. But, you know, and then when it comes down to it, it ends up that for one reason or another, he ends up getting the wrath of somebody else that for most of the film, you know, we suspect why this person is coming after him the way he is, and not just coming after him like a stalker. He's coming after him like a super stalker and just tormenting him from one place to the next as he tries to get away. He cuts brake lines. He cuts, scrapes the car, doesn't key it, uses a knife, but
yeah,
keys the car. He pees on him and then beats him in a bathroom, follows him to his home. I mean, this is, you know, this is a person's worst nightmare, because this, the, you know,
Because of indiscretions, though. I mean, that's the thing, is that it's all based on an indiscretion that he had done, which was cheating on his wife, a woman that was, you know, that deserved far better, obviously. And that's actually, you know, where I would go a little further with this going, I mean, how much of this is actually his guilt playing against him and not so much the rage that was developed, road rage, if you will. I mean, because it's playing with the concept of road rage.
Right, exactly.
And it's just taking it to the next and then the next and then the next level. I mean, one of the things that I love about this film is that we really don't know who the bad guy is.
No, we never truly find that out. And I think that is one of the moralities of this, is that we meet so many people in our everyday life that we never know who is just going to snap at what moment and what's going to set them off.
Which is one of the things that Christopher has actually said himself, is that this is all about, you know, this is about that person. You don't know, like, if you look what in the film, what actually caused the final straw to be broken.
Right.
And I thought it was interesting that, you know, in an interview, Christopher was talking about in the year that he was making this film, that he used to have like tweets sent to him on a constant basis where he would keep up on anything, any crimes that involved rage. And he was like, you would be surprised just what caused people to snap at one moment. And that's what this film is about. I mean, people flipping out about stupid things and, you know, getting to this incredibly outrageous level.
Right, exactly. And that's where I think this film really is so visceral, because of the content and what he's actually talking about. But then the realism of the film, you know, one thing that I mentioned during our episode, this past episode of the Creepercast, was that having a budget is both a hindrance and it helps you, because it can really add to the tone and feel of a movie. Well, with Chris having this small budget to work with, it added to such a realistic feel for the movie that as things escalate, by the end, you are so wrapped up in the life of this main character of Dennis, that what happens at the very end just hits you at such a gut level.
Definitely. I'm not jumping on top of anything. Although, you know, as an independent film, this was actually made within 24 days, including all the pickup shots. So that even gives you a little bit more look at the independent aspect of this film. And Mike, I'm sure you have something you need to say at this point.
What I took away from this film, never admit to anything. Now, I liked this film. I really did. Much more than the one of the films we just reviewed on the Creepercast, because it looked like that one that had a major budget looked worse than this film, which didn't have a budget. And I love the fact that my first thought is, all this over a... my whole thing is, what would it take for me to snap? And there are days that might just happen. And so I really love the film, but, you know, I guess, like I said, never admit to anything, because at one point I was sure that it was the boyfriend. Then I was like, I had convinced myself that it was the psychiatrist / best friend for some reason. You know, maybe he was
because he's playing the moral.
Yeah.
The moral person.
It was the moral compass.
The moral compass.
And, you know, then when we get to that, the scene, and it's like, it's not, you're clearly, I was like, dude, you just admitted to something that made your life even worse. So the key here is shut up.
Well, that could actually lead us into something that actually I took out of this film that is far more reaching than what we're really seeing in the film. Because my question is how much of this is projection of reality and how much of it is reality for this character?
Oh, I think I don't see any projection of reality as far as the character goes. To me, this is a reality film. Right from the hits, everything seems so real to me. everything that happened was right down to this could happen to me tomorrow morning.
And what and the reason why I question it though is because I mean and you know me, I like to reach far beyond what the box that the film is
what it calls for. Yeah, we know.
Yeah,
but what it actually
it's
is. The,
it seems like it's more a projection of his own guilt than it is reality, so to speak. I mean, there's reality being developed into it, but how much of it is more of a projection of his own guilt? I mean, was there really a biker hunting him down, or was this a projection that he put into his guilt kind of thing? I mean, that's just that's me going too far. Let's go to the actually some construction of the film itself, which I wanted to bring up just because – you know, Christopher has mentioned it in review, you know, interviews, and I'd really love to get your guys' take on this because I know it's undeniable as film students that now Christopher himself has said that the biker and the way the biker acts and everything is 100% based on Michael Myers.
Oh, absolutely.
In fact, he went so far as to ask Carpenter how he felt about the fact that he ripped him off, and Carpenter said, go for it.
Absolutely. The biker in this film, just as Michael Myers, is a force. It's not a person. It's a personification of a force of nature that as far and as much as Dennis tries to run from the biker, he cannot get away from him. And on top of that, the force, just like Gale Winds or anything, just keep getting stronger and stronger as it goes.
And then next on the list that really drove, you know, really got me into this and I think makes it more visceral, like what you were talking about, Jason, and then Mike, many of the things you mentioned in this is that Christopher, you know, has admitted to being hugely into Hitchcock. And obviously this film built on a lot of Hitchcockian suspense mechanisms, like showing without actually showing, or let the human mind fill in all the gaps, show less to imply more. You know, that whole aspect is really what he was going with this. And then, of course, I mean, whether you agree with me or not, we always also have to look at the fact that they did show a lot more than you expected by the end of this film.
Yeah, they did. But so much of this, you know, he kind of played with Hitchcockian suspense in that. But then by playing with it, you know, Hitchcock kind of has this, you know, rather than just showing a bomb going off, you show the people sitting at a table and then you show the bomb underneath clicking down and then you show the people sitting and then the bomb, you know, until the person can't take it anymore and then it explodes. But what he did right. is he played with that because the antithesis to that, in which Witherspoon has done in this film also, is to intermix that with just out of nowhere something happens. And that's where I think this film, where he does great with it, because he does build up suspense in certain parts, but then other parts, he definitely shocks you without having that suspense. So you, during the whole film, you feel uneasy because you don't know where things are going to go or what the tempo is.
I think one of the interesting things that Witherspoon has said himself in many things is that, and that we all know about Hitchcockian films, is that many people have walked out of films, you know, walked out of a Hitchcock film saying that, you know, describing something, especially with Psycho, describing something that happened on the screen that never actually happened, that they had filled in themselves. And Witherspoon has said that, you know, like one of the stories he told, and that's one of the really good reasons to get him on the show is to have him tell some of these stories, is that while he was in Germany and the film showed, a lot of people were like, you know, afterwards he would ask them, so what did you think about this scene? And they filled in stuff, you know, they would fill in pieces of the story that weren't actually there. And that's one of the skills that he is trying to get across in Rage. I think he did a fantastic job in that because there were a lot of things about the film that I thought existed that didn't, especially watching it a second time.
Well, I'm going to have to watch it a second time. I'll tell you the in preparation for this, because I like to, you know, kind of do things as I was preparing for this. This was the last film of the day that I watched, and I watched it right before we had the podcast. And that was not the right thing to do because this left me...
It set your mood for the night.
Yeah, it completely set my mood for the night in the fact that I needed a cool down time. This is one of those films that not only do you need time to digest, but you need time to, you know, get away from it. You at the end of the film, you need time to walk away. You need time to, you know, kind of think about it, but you need time to get that visceral feeling, that uneasiness and that empathy that you have for the characters out of your cerebral cortex.
an empathy that you surprisingly developed.
Yes. Because
like Mike said, this guy was an ass right at the beginning. But about halfway through the movie, you're just like, what is up with that biker?
Well, and you don't feel just empathy for him. You know, they really do a great job of setting up empathy for his wife, which really plays right from the beginning to the end on her character.
Yeah.
And what happens to her.
And last of all, I don't know how much everybody else has, but the last thing I have to say is that how much of this, though, because this is what the question is asking that we asked at the beginning, and what Witherspoon himself is asking in a lot of cases, is, you know, what he's saying is be careful the decisions you make because it affects other people. My question then is, how much of this is a total fluke? Like, what happened to this guy? How much of it is a total fluke? And how much do you believe might actually be karma?
That's the question on any movie is, you know, what's the name of that movie where at the end they say because we can or because you were home?
Yes, The Strangers.
The Strangers. This plays on the same thing is, you know, the reason that it could happen to anybody is, you know, if you believe in karma, it is because of karma.
They were there.
But there is also the idea that this happened because they were home. Because they were there. Because he could.
Okay, and I leave the floor open now. Besides saying, is it Steven? Steven would be the ex-boyfriend, or would be the boyfriend of the girl that he was sleeping with.
We'll have to leave that up for the audience to watch this and decide for themselves. So,
Mike, do you have anything else?
No, I mean, like I said, I enjoyed the movie. My only other thing was, I actually wrote this down, was that... I actually don't have that much empathy for him. It was like he just consistently and continually throughout the film made bad choices.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's a very excellent point.
Not only, you know, having the affair, which is kind of the setup or whatever, but, you know, when he's talking to his friend, just throughout the movie, you know, when he gets attacked... when the brakes get cut and he crashes, you know, I can't tell my wife. I can't call the police.
Well, he's continually in denial.
Yes.
I'm like, my whole thing is like, why the hell not? You don't have to tell your wife the reason your brakes got cut or you had a crash is because you were having an affair. You just say some nut job cut my brake lines, you know? And so he's continually concealing things that didn't need to be concealed. And he just made bad choice after bad choice. And, you know, like I totally had empathy for his neighbors and his wife, especially at the end. But for him, it was like, you kind of had it coming, douchebag.
Okay.
Very good points too. I mean, he wasn't a tragic hero.
No. In fact, I wouldn't give him a hero.
He was
all.
Just tragic.
He was tragic. And, you know, this film, He was definitely a victim through the whole thing.
Basically what we've pretty much all decided is at this point is that it's a very good independent film that will make you stop and think about decisions you've made in your life. I probably will drive a little bit nicer on the way to work tomorrow.
Oh, screw that. I'm taking the next. I'm rolling the dice, man.
But
Mike, would you stop giving away the ending?
It's not the ending. It's right from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, anyway. The tension in this place.
Yeah. Anyway.
So much for the Hitchcockian suspense.
So with that, you know, I got to give it 5 stars. Definitely. Witherspoon did a great job with this film. And I'm trying to look it up to see, because we got a screener copy from the director himself. Yes. But I'm trying to find to see if there's a place to buy it, and I can't find it on Amazon or anywhere for you to be able to purchase. So hopefully it becomes available soon.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything else from him other than I have read that he is actually working on a TV series for cable right at this point called Twilight Hotel, which sounds like it's supposed to be like all the stories are supposed to be independent but somehow intertwining. And it's supposed to be gory and more horror based and things like that, which is, you know, which is great. And also tells you a lot about people who began in television as writing a children's series, because that's basically how he started. And look at where he is today.
Yes.
But But I think it's great. And I also want to say that, you know, as much as we were trying to avoid saying certain types of things in this episode, that would, I mean, basically what Mike, you know, and you keep arguing about is truly the antithesis of what began this horrible day for this guy.
Right.
So it isn't the end of the story. There is a lot to this film that goes far beyond any argument over and the way it builds and such. That's why I continually ask the question, how much of this is reality or in his head? How much of it is something that he's created himself? That's me looking outside, you know, asking, you know, expecting more of a supernatural aspect or a psychological supernatural aspect. And at the same time, we're looking at it as in like this can really happen to people. We've read stories about somebody going nuts because somebody, I mean, you know, they've made movies, funny movies about these things. They've made horrible movies about these things. This is one of those that will actually make you kind of question some of the stupid things you do in your life.
Yes. All right. And I think with that, I think it's about time we wrap it up and say thank you to everyone.
And thank you, Mr. Witherspoon, for sharing this with us. And please join us on a future episode of the podcast in order to discuss in more detail what you're working on and what Rage meant to you.
All right. Don't forget to get a hold of us by giving us a call at 503-454-6941. Tell us what you think about this or any independent film, or if you have suggestions on films for us to review for our independent feature review, monthly independent feature review. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/creepercast. Become a, I guess, follower on Twitter. I messed
become
that
a
up.
Stalker.
Become a stalker.
We need stalkers.
Twitter.com/creepercast. All right. See you guys next month.
Most definitely. Yeah.
Mike, you suck.